Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another awesome edition of Righteousness Radio. I call it awesome because it's my show. I like my show. That song was called Hands of the Healer. It was by Nate Mariachi. If you would like to know more about Nate Mariachi's music, go to natemariachi.com and check it out. The song's off a CD called Rise from Zion, which I dearly love. So I asked him if I could put it on the show, and he graciously let me use this, and this is our ministry. This is kind of like our ministry, you know, signature song. So that's why you hear it all the time. And there's a title track on that CD called Rise from Zion, and I want to try to get that and put it on the show. It's really cool and really anointed. And, you know, enough about that. This is Wednesday Live at 5, and I am excited to have my guest, John Burton. He is a revivalist, evangelist, Mr., you know, We Need to Wake Up the Nation, writes books, author, really cool person, John Burton. How you doing, John?
Hey, I'm doing amazing. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. Today, we're going to let John talk about one of his books that I haven't really had a chance to read. I'm kind of visually impaired, so reading is hard for me. So I'm a audiobook kind of person. But I saw the title, and it's called, you know, it said The Coming Church, and that really intrigued me because God does visit me and my wife in prophetic dreams and visions. And so I kind of wanted John to come on here and talk about his book. So, John, what inspired you, first of all, to write what you got there, the Coming Church?
Well, you know, I had an encounter with the Lord, and he gave me a vision of a firestorm from heaven that's coming, that's going to really, it's going to replace so much of what we have come to know as the church. And, you know, that along with just the core message, you know, that I carry, it just made it clear to me that I needed to get some of this stuff down on paper. So I started writing. It was actually, I thought it was going to be a quick process. It took a couple of years to get it all put together. It's over 300 pages, and in the book there are dreams, there are prophetic messages, you know, cover to cover, teachings, all of it surrounding the theme of radical change that's coming to the church. There's a, you know, the natural is what most of us live in today, you know, we're Christians, where that's our dominant experience. And it's going to be shifting to where it's more normal for us to live in the Spirit, and I don't believe any of us really know what that is going to be like, that life in the supernatural. It's going to blow our minds.
Cool. There was a couple of questions that came across my mind, and I hope you can answer them enough. Not be too offended, I'm asking, because, you know, the church is, you know, we're talking about, you know, the American church versus the church overseas, and I know there's some difference. But what I really wanted to ask you was, and I don't want to give away anything in your book because I know that you sell them online. I don't want to give away anything in your book, but could you possibly share some of the dreams that you've had that are, you know, surround the book?
Yeah, well, let me share a very strong prophetic word that the Lord gave me one day that made it into the book. It's probably one of the most controversial messages I've ever delivered. It's also one of the most important messages I've ever delivered. I was flying into Colorado Springs, getting ready to speak to a bunch of Christian leaders in the city. Excuse me. And the Lord spoke to me as I'm landing in Colorado Springs, and He said, "John, the church is almost homosexual." And I'm like, "Whoa, time out! What in the world did you just say?" But it was so heavy on my spirit. And it completely wrecked me. And he said, "John, the church is almost homosexual, and you're going to tell these pastors and leaders that you're going to be speaking to." And suddenly I've got a tremble in my spirit, and I'm like, "Okay, you're going to have to really fill in the blanks on this one, because that is intense. You talk about offensive, that's offensive. You know, I am one who is a wild defender of the bride, of the legitimate church, you know, and there's so much there's so much nastiness out there where people are attacking the church, you know, haphazardly, and I think we need to have the fear of the Lord on us regarding that. But, you know, of course, I immediately launched into prayer, and God does unpack it for me. And so, and I'll unpack it for you just a little bit here in a moment, but I delivered that message there in Colorado Springs. It totally wrecked people. Then I had a dream of Ellen DeGeneres, and it was a very long dream, a very detailed dream, and my heart was just broken over the reality of just homosexuality and you know, the deception and the brokenness and the confusion and all of that. And so that dream connected to this encounter that I had, or this prophetic word, and it started to make sense even more. And God unpacked it by saying this very, very simply. He said, John, the church is almost homosexual. He said there are three primary spirits that drive the homosexual agenda or the homosexual experience. And he said, number one, identity, the issue of identity. And where there's identity confusion and they're so adamant on having their identity affirmed, and so identity is a big one. Number two, pride, and you know, of course we have gay pride parades and things like that, and pride is huge. I mean, that's their adopted word, you know, in that movement. And then number three is lust. And so those are the three drivers of the homosexual movement. And God really started to hit me. And he said, John, those three spirits are also found at such a deep level in so much of the church, where it's all about me. It's all about narcissism, identity. Who am I? Finding our position, you know, climbing the ladder, having the biggest church, you know, these types of things. It's about, you know, who I am, how I'm conquering, how I'm advancing, you know. And number two, pride. I mean, oh my gosh. I mean, we know pride goes before destruction, and pride is just rampant. And anyone, any minister worth their salt, they're going to very honestly admit that they have to consecrate themselves and die to pride on a regular basis. So that's what caused Lucifer to fall. And so it's very easy to, I think any of us would agree, it's very easy to fall into pride, to be tempted by that spirit. And so that is huge in the church as well. And then number three, you know, lust, and that can take the form of sexual lust, or it can take the form of lust for power, lust for wealth, whatever that is. And, you know, something very interesting that came out of this was God spoke to me, and he said, John, there's a reason why the church has been largely, almost entirely ineffective regarding ministry to the homosexual community and dealing with this strengthening, you know, demonic force. And he said those who embrace homosexuality, they admit that it's about their identity. They admit that it's about their pride. They have no problem admitting that there's sexual lust or physical lust. But the church, we hide all of that. And so the homosexuals are accurately pointing their finger at the church and calling us hypocrites, because they at least have the guts to admit that they are surrendering to these three spirits, or these three lifestyles, or these three principles, while we in the church, you know, it's a general statement, but it's infecting so much of the church. We're hiding. We don't admit that, yet they pick up on it. They know that there's pride in the church. They know that we're going hard after identity. They know that we're driven by lust, so many of us. And so that's why we don't have power and strength and wisdom is because we're doing the same thing they are. It's just manifesting differently, you know? And so that's a huge point in the book. You know, we're dealing with reformation that's coming to the church, radical reformation. You know, when this revolution comes, you know, we're going to have to go low in humility, unlike we've ever known. We're going to have to reject lust and the pursuit of selfish, you know, desire, selfish ambition. You know, we're gonna have to, you know, pride has got to die. The issue of our identity, it's got to be about Christ and not us. And so that's a huge, you know, a point I think that we need to consider.
Awesome. That was, you know, I was just sitting there soaking that in. I'm sitting here learning something. You had said earlier that there's a shift coming, a change coming, and there's going to be a radical change in the church, and we're going to walk in the Spirit as opposed to the way we walk now and the way. Explain your position on that right there. I mean, you know, for anybody listening, because we will share the show after it's over, because I really believe this is really important. But explain your position on, you know, now as opposed to what is coming, because I believe that's really, really, really exciting.
Yeah. You know, 1 Corinthians 2:14 says this. It says the natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him, and he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. And that's a huge scripture. That's crazy important, because that's not talking about the unsaved. It's talking about those who are naturally minded, and this is extremely significant, because if we're not living supernaturally, and we're being guided by our natural senses primarily, you know, the things of the Spirit are going. The Bible says that we will not accept them; we will reject them as foolishness. Because we're not going to be able to understand them, because the things of the Spirit can't be understood on a logical level. They can only be understood on a spiritual level. Okay, so we, you know, this is why praying in the Spirit is so critical. This is why the prophetic is so important, you know, and it goes on, you know, to say in 1 Corinthians 3:1, Paul says, "But I, brothers, could not address you as spiritual people." Again, he's talking to those in Christ. "But as people of the flesh, as infants in Christ." Man, that's a scary verse right there. He says, "I fed you with milk, not solid food, for you were not ready for it, and even now you are not ready." And, man, I can read that verse, and I can point that inward to myself, and I'm like, oh, God, I don't want to be a person of the flesh. I don't want to be one who can't, you know, eat the solid food. I have to be ready. It's critical, because if I am not ready, it's clear that I'm going to reject God when he starts moving in specific ways. And when the Spirit of God starts moving and my logic, my intellect can't grasp it, I'm going to reject it. And, man, you know, then we can just let that develop. What does that look like? Well, then we could even get into the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, you know, the unpardonable sin, you know, which is attributing an act of God to Satan, because we're not going to understand when God's moving in a certain way, and we're going to reject that. And I'm telling you, it's going to get extremely intense. You know, even the elect can fall away. There's a great delusion, you know, that God is going to send on the earth. You know, these are really weighty topics. And if we're living in the natural, we will reject what God's doing. And, you know, so we need to really kind of, on a personal level, we need to work through that, because, boy, You know, the church as it is today is so natural, and I'm not even saying sinful. I mean, we can talk about that too, but I'm just talking natural. I mean, where
right.
are those that are really burning, trembling in the spirit night and day, you know, where they're waking up in the night, you know, having encounters with God, and they're on their face praying, and, you know, their whole life is given to this, you know, that just raging spirit of revival. You know, where are those? Like John on the Isle of Patmos, who was in the spirit on the Lord's day, is what the Bible says in Revelation, and, you know, we need to have these encounters. The Bible says that his sheep hear his voice. Well, we're only going to hear him is, you know, if we're living in the spirit, if he's spirit, you know. And so there's a massive segment of the church that's at serious risk of falling away because they will by choice reject God if they're not living in the spirit.
That really brings me to this question. I mean, I've got a couple more because I'm sure after these two, we're probably going to have to start wrapping it up. But you had said something about praying in the spirit. I talked to a buddy of mine late last year about praying in the spirit, and we were just conversing about that. And, you know, I don't know who's listening to the show, but just as, you know, just as something that's not coming from me, and somebody else who, you know, kind of does the same thing that we do, where as far as evangelistic things, explain, just take a brief moment to explain really how important that praying in the spirit really is, because, you know, there's a lot of people, you know, out there that that teach, well, you get baptized in the Holy Spirit, but you really don't have to speak in tongues, and that's kind of something that I've heard for the last several years. You had talked about praying in the Spirit, so just for a second, emphasize, if you would, how vitally important that is to the Christian, that is to the Christian life.
Yeah, I hear that a lot myself, and, you know, my reaction to that, you know, when someone might say, well, it's not required that we speak in tongues, you know, my reaction is, well, that doesn't make a lot of sense, because praying in tongues is a good thing. You know, you're basically, people are only going to make an excuse when they perceive something to be unattractive, and so they want to reject that. And, you know, my thing is, who would not want to pray in tongues? Think about it this way. You know, if you're going to a foreign nation, and let's say you're going into the jungle and you're going to be you're going to run across a tribe of people, and they only speak whatever language that it is that they speak, wouldn't it make lots of sense to have the ability to speak their language? And so the idea of rejecting tongues is absolutely nonsensical. It's usually just because people are uncomfortable with that, because it pulls them out of the natural and it brings them into the spirit. And I, you know, not only is it's a wonderful thing, you know, it's a gift. Gifts are good. You know, can you imagine God coming up to somebody and saying, hey, I'd like to give you a gift? And they're like, no way. And I'm going to give you all these excuses, God, why that's not a good idea. That gift is not a good idea. Well, it's crazy. It's absolutely crazy. And so I cannot imagine living my life without praying in tongues. Because when I don't pray in tongues, I'm praying. I mean, I'm limited to my own understanding, you know, and it would be a terrible way to live. I need the Holy Spirit to pray through me. So then things in my life explode, because if I'm only, you know, if I'm only praying what I know to pray, then, man, what an average, boring life that would be. But if the Holy Spirit is praying through me and things are being activated at a supernatural level, man, that's the way to do it, you know. And, you know, and one of my favorite verses is or passages is, you know, we all know Romans 8:28, where it says all things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose. And but that verse doesn't work by itself, and a lot of people don't understand that. That verse is contingent on the two verses and even more additional verses that follow, where it talks about the Holy Spirit prays through us in groans that can't be uttered. And when that happens, then all things work together for good. And so things aren't working together for good for a lot of people out there because the Holy Spirit is not giving leadership in their life in the place of prayer. And, you know, so, you know, again, who would turn down the opportunity for Almighty God to be praying through you? It just doesn't make sense.
Amen. I completely agree. Of course, I read your articles, and I completely agree with everything you say. So, one more question, and then we're probably going to have to wrap this up shortly. You had said that there's a massive radical change coming to the church, and it is good. But my question is, how many people? Now I know there's people out there that know what's going on. I mean, not everybody's totally, you know, got their head in the sand. Let me see how I'm gonna phrase this. How much of the church do you think right now, after everything that we've talked about today, how much of the church do you think is going to be ready for be able to embrace what's fixing to happen?
I personally think it's going to be a very, very small number, very small percentage, sadly. And I'll be the first to say that I am not presuming to be in that percentage. I'm as susceptible to, making bad decisions and turning my back on God and not going deep and not disciplining myself and that keeps the fear of the Lord on me. But sadly, I think it's going to be a very, very small number, because so many horrible theologies that are out there that are causing people to lose their passion, causing people to get casual, terrible salvation theologies that are out there, and on and on and on. And it's rare, it's exceedingly rare to find a company of people, that tribe of people that are just raging on fire in passionate love for Jesus, and who are truly living in the Spirit. And my personal opinion, it's a very, very small number.
Well, I really appreciate you coming on the show, man. Everything you've said has really been uplifting. I mean, you know, some of it might not have sounded that way, but I think everything's been really uplifting. I would like for you, and I'm going to ask this personally, if you would ever think of recording an audio book of that book so that I can listen to it. I'm really intrigued just by the title. But right now I just want to give you an opportunity to, let people know where you're going to be in the future, and any kind of contact information that you have. If you'll go ahead and give it out, that'd be awesome.
Yeah, yep. I'm traveling. I usually travel quite a bit the rest of this year. I'm not so much. We're starting a business here in Branson, Missouri. At the end of the month, though, I'm going to be in Iowa. But other than that, if you go to thefurnace.tv, that's my media site. And so I have a studio here in Branson, and I record teaching videos on a very regular basis, and so there's a bunch on there, and so that's a really great way to connect with the ministry. If anyone out there is interested in booking me, that'd be great as well. You can go to johnburton.net, which is my personal ministry site, and you can check out all the information there. You can order books in an e-book or printed format, and so there's a whole bunch of stuff there. I write for Charisma Magazine, and so there's Charisma articles and just tons and tons of content. You can check that out there, either thefurnace.tv or johnburton.net.
Thank you so much, John, for coming on. Guys, get him to your city. He has vowed. I actually read some of his stuff on johnburton.net. He's vowed to sleep even on the floor, which I think is great. I call this dude a real revivalist. thank you, John. Thank you, John, for coming on so much. And we're going to wrap this up now because we're on the top of 10 seconds. So I'm going to say goodbye, everybody. Thank you for listening. John, once again, thank you for coming on. You're an awesome man of God as far as I'm concerned. You know, who cares what everybody else thinks? I think you rock. I think everything you're doing is awesome. I really appreciate you coming on, dude. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
See you later, guys. Bye-bye.